It's good to be here. Haven't shot a hog lately, but believe it or not, I actually have shot one, so you're not far off. Stacy and I joke about what a redneck I am and what a redneck he is not, and so y'all can ask him about that later. Glad to be here. We're going to take a look tonight at Psalm 23, so if you do have a Bible, you can flip over there. If not, then I think we're going to have it up, and you know, this is one of those Psalms, too, that someone could probably stand up and say. This is actually the most popular scripture ever. Like, people polled know this scripture. And I wanted to look at it tonight because I think it's important for us, especially people who grew up in church, to kind of revisit, what does this mean? What is Psalm 23 really saying? Instead of maybe something that you heard at someone's funeral, or something that was read at your graduation. What is the psalmist really saying? And I kind of want to give you the punchline in the beginning and say this is all about Jesus. And so let me read for us Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still, quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray together. Father, we read this psalm and it sounds honestly kind of repetitive. It sounds like something we've heard before. And we pray tonight that we'd be reminded that You really are a good shepherd. I pray for everybody in here and I just ask You, Lord, to send Your Spirit, open our eyes, open our hearts, that we would hear the truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before I moved to Murfreesboro, I lived in Jacksonville, Florida, and was there for 5 years. And if you know anything about Jacksonville, it's actually the largest geographic city in the United States. So super spread out. And I was at University of North Florida, it's just kind of on one side of the city, and then Jacksonville University on the other side of the city. But one day I was going from one school to the other, and I love Chick-fil-A. So I pulled in Chick-fil-A to get a biscuit. And yes, I am a redneck, so I went to get a biscuit, and it was awesome. And I pull over, get the biscuit, and get in my car, and I'm sitting in a red light, and I take a huge bite of this biscuit. I'm sitting there and a guy pulls up beside me at the red light. You know that like awkward moment of, you know, hey, I don't, you know, what are you going to do? Do you wave? Do you kind of look? Well, I just kind of noticed out of my periphery that he was checking me out a little bit, maybe thinking that I knew him or something was going on. So anyway, this is a sunshine state, and all of a sudden, as I have a mouthful of biscuit, this light ray from the sun hits my eye, and all of a sudden, I have to sneeze. So, mouthful of biscuit, this guy's over here, and I'm like, oh no, what, you know, and then you have that moment of, what am I going to do? Am I going to spit the biscuit out of my hand? Am I going to roll down the window? Am I going to open the door? What am I going to do right now? So I go to roll the window down of the car. And I think he thought I was going to say something to him. And so I'm rolling my window down going, ha ha. And the guy looks over kind of like, what are you going to say? And y'all, I just went, ha ha. Like, right, the biscuit hits the window, slides down. And it was one of the most awkward moments of my entire life. And so I just kind of looked at the guy and went, and just took off. Run through the red light and felt horrible. Well, there is a point to this. It's not just a crazy story. I think so often we feel like in life that we're about to explode. And you just don't know what to do. Like you just feel like you have that moment of kind of freaking out. And you feel like you're going to do something really dumb or crazy. What do you do? The psalmist here is dealing with something so important. He's kind of thinking about, what do I need to do in life? How do you deal with difficulty? How do you deal with stress? How do you deal with being overwhelmed? The psalmist here is looking and saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Sheep are needy. If you know anything about sheep, you know that they need the shepherd so much and they really can't take care of themselves. If sheep get close to a cliff, they have no depth perception and they'll just walk off the cliff. And then if you know about sheep too, they're always together, another sheep will follow them and they'll just start jumping off this cliff. They have to have a shepherd. The way that sheep protect themselves is they just get together. They just huddle. Because they can't do anything. We are compared with sheep in this psalm. We need a shepherd. We need someone to protect us. We need someone to lead us. We need someone to guide us, to take care of us. Because we're not very good at it. There's several things here that the psalmist David talks about specifically as we look at this. And I'm not going to go through the entire psalm. We're going to look at the first four verses. But I want to point out here that God, Jesus Himself, being a good shepherd, is more than we think. Let's first of all look at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay, what do shepherds do? What's their job? To sit out in the field and hang out with sheep. To kind of understand who the sheep are. To see them, to watch them, to protect them. But their main job is to understand what the sheep, who the sheep are and what the sheep do. So that when the sheep get in trouble, they can take care of them. It's kind of like for us when we go to the doctor. We walk in and, you know, maybe you twisted your ankle. You go, okay, doc, my ankle hurts. You don't know why. You don't know all the ligaments you tore. You don't know all the details. You just know that you need help. And the doctor knows more about you than you do. This is the picture here of what he's saying about the shepherd. That the shepherd know sheep. They understand who the sheep are, just as Jesus Himself understands who we are. He knows us. He knows more about us than we do. I think this is difficult at times to grasp because, again, we've got control of our life and we know what we want. We've got a 5-year plan. We've got goals and all this stuff. And it usually doesn't work out that way. But Jesus understands us. David goes on to say here, the Lord is my shepherd. He understood who the shepherd was. This is very intimate. There's a close relationship that David is saying that he has with the shepherd. The shepherd understood him and he understood the shepherd. And he also understood and heard the shepherd's voice. John chapter 10 talks about this. And I think it's so important for us to grasp this because in the Old Testament, Jesus is referred to, but here specifically in John 10, he's saying, I am the good shepherd. And he says this, I know my sheep, and my sheep know my voice. When I was in Florida, I was in my backyard and I was digging. And I don't even remember why I was digging. I was just in the backyard with my shovel doing work. I don't know. You just do that when you're a dad, an adult. Anyway, my son comes back there and he's 2 at the time. He grabs his shovel and he's going to help daddy. So he comes in the back and, you know, he's digging too. Well, all of a sudden, I just kind of lost sight of what I was doing, or excuse me, where he was, and kind of was just focusing on what I was doing. And all of a sudden, my son's gone. And I think, where did he go? And I kind of freaked out for a minute because our road, or the house we live on, the road is really busy. And he's 2. And so I just kind of turn and say, Drew! And I don't hear anything. And usually the first call, he would say, Daddy, and he would come back. So then I start freaking out a little bit. And I said, Drew, real loud. And I hear kind of off in the distance, Daddy. And he's heading toward the street. And so at that point, I throw the shovel down. I start running toward him and just yelling, Drew, Drew, as loud as I can. Well, then he starts yelling, Daddy, Daddy. And running back toward me. And I remember picking him up, just holding him real tight and saying, are you okay? And he's bawling and he's like, Daddy, you scared me. But he knew my voice. And he also knew the urgency in my voice. I think we often hear God calling out to us. We hear it through the Bible. We hear it through other people. Through providence, meaning God's works around us. And we hear Him calling out. And sometimes the voice sounds a little bit angry. A little bit urgent. And I think we immediately go to, God's mad at me. I want to encourage you to realize that God's not angry with you. God sees you heading for danger. And He's coming after you. He's seeking you. And sometimes this means yelling and saying, come on! And we don't know really how to respond to that. Some of you are here tonight and you're just not sure why God keeps pursuing you. And you feel like He's mad at you because of something you did a long time ago. I want you to realize that He's a good shepherd. And when He sees the sheep going away, He goes after them. And He's a strong shepherd, which we're going to talk about, who pursues the sheep. Some of you are here tonight and you know that God is after you. He's pursuing you. And I want to encourage you, again, to realize He's pursuing you because He loves you. God is a good shepherd who knows the sheep. He's also a good shepherd who leads His sheep. Take a look at verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. David gives us this beautiful picture here of rest. A green pasture. Quiet waters. This nice picture of kind of this vacation kind of thing of just chilling out. But this is what sheep needed. Green pastures. So they could eat. And so they could lay down. Quiet waters because, again, if you know about sheep, Sheep can't drink from a stream that's flowing. It has to be quiet and still. They have to have certain things, just as we have to have certain things in order to really rest. Notice what he doesn't say. He leads us to brown pastures. He leads us to stormy, horrible waters. For us to rest and believe that he's good, we have to realize that he's leading us in good places. Again, I want to encourage you to look and realize that God is not mad at you. God's not leading you in a place in your life where all of a sudden it's just going to fall apart. I think we often feel like we're kind of out, you know, on the limb. And we're just waiting for God to start sawing it off. The Bible very clearly tells us this is not who God is. He leads us to good places. And I'll be the first to confess to you guys tonight, this is hard for me. This is hard for me because of life, because of people I know, because of friends of mine who I hear who call me and say, my life sucks right now. My wife left me. My kids are rebelling against God. And we kind of go, are the pastures green? Really? Or is it somewhere that we look and go, I just don't know if I believe that. We have to look and realize that God is good. That He really is going to lead us in these places. My son, who is also named Jake, which is really interesting, he is about to turn 2, but when he was first born, he had 3 heart surgeries. We were up here at Vanderbilt Children's Hospital for 32 days. And so, just day after day, I know Vanderbilt very well because of the time I was here. And y'all, it was hard. I mean, we would think that he was through one heart surgery, and then the doctor would tell us, there's another one. It didn't take, or it didn't do what we thought it was going to do. Next Monday, we're taking him in again. And we don't know if he's going to have another surgery. We really don't know what's going to happen. But I can tell you throughout this entire thing that God just keeps opening doors. He keeps making things happen. We had a $98,000 bill for being in the hospital that long. Our insurance, for some reason, covered all of it. They weren't supposed to. People bring us food. People kept praying. People come visit us. All this stuff happened. And when I was looking and saying, these don't look like green pastures. This does not look like quiet waters. God kept saying yes. He kept leading us there. And given us rest. Verse 3 goes on here to help us understand what the psalmist means when he talks about rest. When he says, He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Now the beginning of verse 2 is kind of physical rest and us lying down and drinking. And you know, there's some metaphors there. But this is real clear in verse 3 where he says, He restores our soul. He leads us in paths of righteousness. This is not physical rest. This is spiritual rest. Who is it that walked in the path of righteousness? Who is it that was perfect? Who is it that leads us and drags us along and makes us righteous? Jesus. This whole psalm, y'all, is about Jesus. He's the one that has made us right. He's the one that's leading us and guiding us. And He's the one that gives us real rest. The rest that all of our souls long for. The rest that we want before God and before our friends. We find in Jesus. Peace of conscience. Peace with God. This is what Psalm 23 is all about. Now, I'm very aware that I'm at Vandy, and this is not MTSU. And y'all all kind of look stressed right now anyway, that y'all are kind of sitting here going, is this guy going to hurry up? I got calculus and all this stuff to do when I get back. MTSU, they're like, preach longer. You know, they're kicking back. They don't care. I want to encourage you guys tonight, in your stress, not if you're stressed, in your stress, to realize that your rest is found in Jesus. Your rest is found through praying, through confessing your sin, through dealing with your heart, through just talking to God and saying, this is what's going on with me. Your rest is found in your friends, the community that God has put in your life. To talk to them, to tell them, I need you to pray for me. I need help. I'm so stressed right now. I'm so overwhelmed. And some of y'all, it's grades, but some of y'all, it's bigger than that too. It's friends and family and boyfriend and just relationships. You need to talk to God. And you need to talk to other people. And you need to get outside of yourself. Because when you just start turning inward with this and isolating yourself and saying, I can deal with this, it's going to overwhelm you to the point that you're going to freak out. You need other people. And most of all, you need Jesus. To talk to Him. To get outside of your selfishness. Call out to the Good Shepherd, because He really does listen. And He really will lead you in paths of righteousness. Last point here, the Good Shepherd protects us. Take a look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Two of the scariest things in life, according to polls. Number one is public speaking, actually, which is interesting. Number two is death. Sometimes public speaking feels like death, but it really is what people are afraid of. And we see here that He's saying very clearly, even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that we feel death. He's with us. We're protected. He goes on to say here, your rod and your staff, they comfort us. Now, this was really the only weapons they had. You know, you see the shepherds with the kids with the towels on their head at Christmas, holding like a tennis racket or whatever. I mean, that's really all they have is, oh, wow, that looks powerful. Don't hit me with that. But this was a rod that was really strong and really powerful. But I wish the translation was different. I wish it was more modern day, like the Message or something. Where we would see this as something that's strong. I wish it said, your AK-47 and your bazooka protect me. Because we have this picture of Jesus that He's just a poor little wimp. You know, you've seen these pictures at church and Sunday school with the blue contacts holding the lamb. His chin is quivering. He's about to cry and everybody's like, oh, poor helpless little Jesus. Here He's being compared with a shepherd with a weapon. Someone strong. Someone mighty. Someone who can kick butt. This is who Jesus is. If you've got a Bible, flip over real quick to 1 Samuel 17. And this is the picture of David and Goliath, and you know the story. But this is when Saul is asking David if he really thinks he can go and fight Goliath. And this is what David says. "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when a lion or bear came and took the lamb from the flock, I went after him and I struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. If he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and I struck him and I killed him." This is Jesus. Not a big wuss. And I think when we think about him and we go, "Oh no, what am I going to do with my stress? I can handle it." Instead of going, "He can handle it. He's strong. He's mighty. He's a king." We can turn our life over to him. He can handle it. My older brother's 5 years older than me, and he's bigger than me, and he's meaner than me by far. And I remember as a kid being on the bus, first grade, on the big yellow bus on the way to school. My brother was in sixth grade, and he would sit in the back of the bus. And I was like on the front row. I was scared, even though I was huge, like bigger than all the other kids. I was so scared. My brother would sit in the back with all his friends, you know, like he was bad, and he was. One day on the way back from school, this kid came up, and he was flicking me on the ear. And I was about to cry, or, you know, I was afraid. And so my brother saw it. He, like, got up and walked up to that kid, like, grabbed my shirt. I said, "When we get off the bus, I'm going to kick your butt." And you can hear everybody on the bus go, "Ooh." And so sure enough, we get off the bus. We kind of all got off at this one stop. And you could see this kid, he was just waiting. He gets off the bus and he runs. And my brother runs him down. Tackles him in the kid's yard. And beats the crap out of him, like punching him in the ear, in the face. And y'all, I remember getting off the bus. Like, I was so afraid, but I was so happy. Because my brother just beat the crap out of this kid, and I knew that no one was going to mess with me. And like, for another 6 or 7 years, I was known as Gene Boyd's little brother. Because my brother was this guy. Y'all, Jesus is strong. He's our older brother who takes care of us. And if you're here tonight and you are a Christian, you can take hope, you can take faith, you can have peace. Because Jesus takes care of you. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian and you just kind of have this picture of Jesus as this guy who wandered around, he wasn't sure, he's kind of wimpy. That's not what the Bible says about him. It's what culture has created about him. And this is not who he is. He's mighty. And he's coming back. And when he comes back, he's coming back strong. What is it that you're afraid to let Jesus take care of in your life? Is it your stress? Is it your money? Is it your deep, dark, gross sin? Do you just think Jesus just doesn't get this? He doesn't understand this? Yes, he does. The Bible says that he was tempted in every way, yet without sin. He's strong. He's overcome all sin. And he overcomes your sin, even the dark ones. I hope tonight that you will see that this shepherd is good. And this shepherd is strong, and he's protecting us, and he's taking care of us, and he's leading us, and he cares about us. And you can trust him. I have 5-year-old, 3-year-old, 1-year-old. This summer, my 3-year-old was wanting to swim so bad. And you know, I mean, he can't swim, but he can try. And so my 5-year-old had the floaties that you put on your arm, and he would like run and jump in the pool. My 3-year-old, who's a head shorter than he is, would see this. And he just didn't have floaties like on your arm. He had a floaty suit, you know, your whole body, you know, you're walking around. And so he would go and run and get right up to the edge and just be really scared. And so he said, "Daddy, will you come stand in the pool?" I said, "Okay." So I'm standing there, and he would put his little toes on the edge, and I would say, "Okay, Josh, just jump." I can't do it. And so we tried all these different techniques. I was like, "All right, close your eyes and just jump. I'm going to count to three, and then when I get to three, jump." Nothing was working. So I finally said, "Okay, what I want you to do is I just want you to fall." And I almost told my 5-year-old to go push him, but that was the next thing we were going to do. I just said, "Just fall into Daddy." And so finally, he kind of got the courage, and he closed his eyes, and he just fell. And he fell right into me, and I grabbed him, and I said, "You did it." So the rest of the day, he was like going up again and doing it the whole time. But it was that first time that he finally just did it. I think this is where many of you are. You want to trust Jesus, and you want to believe that he's good, but you're trying to do it. Instead of just falling into his arms and saying, "This is it. I'm going to repent. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to let my life be yours." And when you do, you'll see how good he is. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you give us a reason to trust you. We thank you for Jesus, and we thank you that he has died for us, that he was raised for us, and that he stands at your right hand, and he pleads for us, and he loves us, and he leads us. We just ask that even tonight that you would give us faith and even give us courage, Lord, to trust Jesus. Thank you for everybody in the room, and I just pray your blessing over them. I pray that, God, we would be known as people who trust you, who have faith, strong faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.